This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Today we're discussing a revolutionary breakthrough in natural treatment for osteoporosis. Osteoporosis mostly viewed as a pharmaceutical problem treated with powerful medications, some of which have pretty unpleasant side effects, some of which may ultimately create a higher risk of certain atypical types of bone fractures. So there's a lot of controversy about conventional treatment. We're always looking for natural ways to enhance bone. And today we're talking to Dr. John Jaquish, who's a biomedical engineer. And he is focused on the biomechanics of musculoskeletal stimulation. He's developed a device that is now in production and has since been placed in over 240 clinics worldwide. It's called OsteoStrong, and it's based on the principle of osteogenic loading. In part one, we kind of laid the groundwork for our discussion. Dr. Jaquish, according to your bio, it says that published data has shown that treatment with this osteogenic loading device has resulted in over 14% gains in bone density in both the spine and hip.
That's right.
Over 1 year of once weekly treatment. That's pretty good because, you know, a lot of people are thinking, well, okay, I got to do this day in and day out. I might have to drive 20 miles to a facility to get perform this exercise. So tell us about how that might work.
Well, it sounds, I've got this question for years, and I hear that sounds too good to be true, only one session per week. It really had nothing to do with designing something convenient, because when someone has a life-threatening dysfunction like osteoporosis, and hip fractures from osteoporosis actually end as many lives as breast cancer. So when someone has this dysfunction, they're very concerned. I didn't design it to be convenient. It just happens to be that the human body has a longer metabolic rate of bone by comparison to some other tissues that we would perform therapy on, tendons, ligaments, movement, when we're working on flexibility. If you ever look at someone who's in joint rehabilitation for some type of joint surgery, they need to immediately and on a regular basis be working that range of motion, so that they don't lose, so the tendons don't shorten, they don't lose range of motion. So the metabolic rate of bone is longer. And the stimulus that's required, it's not so much a matter of loading cycles. And this was a research question that I've been asked for many years. And I'm sure there'll be more research on this specific part of bone. But what we've seen thus far on multiple occasions is that it's not the number of loading cycles that go into the bone. It's the peak level of load. So like I said, 4.2 multiples of body weight, only one loading cycle required. Mm-hmm. You don't need to do it 10 times. So you exceed 4.2, the deformation happens, and the osteoblasts, now keep in mind that's an average, the osteoblasts are then stimulated to pull in minerals and build more density within the inner bone matrix. So one time per week going through this protocol, there are multiple movements that an individual will go through. Typically there's an upper extremity movement, a low extremity movement, there's a spinal movement, and the one for the rib cage and core.
And how long might that comprise, typical session? Is it, arduous?
Maybe 10 minutes.
Oh, 10 minutes. Okay. That sounds like the right amount of time for somebody.
Now, Sure. The individuals who go through the process, they need to keep in mind that they're engaging at the highest degree they can. Each stimulus lasts around 5 seconds. You want at least 5 seconds so that the loading is captured by the computer system. But when going through this process, it's just getting to those points where you know you're stimulating bone growth, and then waiting for the adaptation to happen over the next week. Simple.
And so what are called osteostrong centers. These are existing physical therapy facilities or gyms that have opted to utilize the osteostrong system.
Right. So osteostrong is a franchise of clinics around the country, and individuals can go and sign up for a program. I believe it's around $90 a month. And I don't even think there's a contract. It's not like a gym at all.
Okay.
It's more like a wellness clinic where you work with the professionals there who have an intimate understanding of how these devices are supposed to be applied with multiple different populations, because the way a younger person would use it for preemptive care is a little different than how an elderly deconditioned person may use it with some joint dysfunction or something like that. So they're very educated on how to take people through it.
So they'll do like an individualized intake. They'll kind of assess the needs, the limitations, tailor a program using an apparatus. Is it a big honking machine, or, you know, what does it look like? Does it look like a universal machine?
Yeah, well, universal. Probably like the size of an MRI.
Okay.
1,000 pounds. There's a few different configurations, but it's thousands of pounds of steel. 1,000 plus. And take up a whole room.
I'm curious as to whether you've gotten any inquiries from NASA. That would sound like a potential client for you, because these astronauts go up in space. They don't exactly have jogging tracks up there. And if they could use some sort of resistance device to put some pressure on their bones and under weightless conditions, that'd be a big score.
It is. And so the only problem with the device I designed is, as I just said, 1,000-plus pounds of steel is not what travels well in a spacecraft.
Okay.
Getting that off the ground takes a lot of fuel. And so what they are doing, however, and there's a few researchers that I correspond with on a semi-regular basis, where they're taking what I've found in research and applying it with their own custom emulation of what I've been able to do, mm-hmm. so that they can put the astronauts through a very similar
maybe
stimulus.
with a harness, a spring-loaded device or something like that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, also the strength of certain materials in a zero-gravity environment is different. So you don't necessarily need 1,000 pounds of steel in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be applying different methods to achieve this similar result.
Okay, so another devil's advocate question. You know, a lot of listeners may say, well, you know, I like what I'm hearing, and, you know, resistance training, osteogenic loading. So, yeah, maybe, you know, I can't get to one of these centers, but I do have a couple of 15-pound dumbbells. Can I just do some dumbbell squats and, you know, pretty much replicate this at home?
Right. Well, I would tell somebody if they weigh, if they can hold 4.2 multiples of body weight in the form of dumbbells, then I don't think bone health is their problem. I don't think they have many problems at all.
Good answer.
Yeah, it's an argument. That's why I really emphasize 4.2 multiples of body weight. And frequently I'll meet individuals who are a little bit confused at the dietary recommendations and really confused when it comes to exercise recommendations. And while I didn't love that article from the New York Times, mm-hmm. because it leaves out like the type of therapy that I developed, it highlights the fact that just going for a walk,
right,
that's not doing it.
Yeah, that's, I think a lot of, this is what I get from a lot of patients.
That is of the appropriate dose response.
Yeah, this is what I get from a lot of patients. You know, they have osteoporosis and I ask, are they exercising? And they'll say, yes, you know, I walk a lot. I walk a lot. You know, I walk, you know, a couple of miles every day, over hills. And sometimes I even put like a, you know, like a liter of water, liter bottle of water in my pack. So it is, it's weight bearing. I mean, I'm bearing some weight, like, you know, it weighs at least a couple of pounds. And I'm saying to them, you know, I'm just not sure that that's specific enough to enhance bone. And I guess, you know, in a sense, the Gina Collada article is correct, is that you get maybe modest gains from just walking or very light exercise, kind of light floor exercises, but it may require a more specific and targeted approach such as you've bioengineered.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so what's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action? How do people find out more about where these centers are? How can they access them? And I see also, you know, I'm looking on the website of OsteoStrong, and it says you can schedule a tour to try a free session. So that might be a good introductory offer.
Yeah, that's a great way to learn more. Going to that website is, it should answer most questions, and especially where to find one. There's a location finder.
Okay. And are they, is there a particular part of the country where there's an aggregate of these? For many of our listeners are in the, tri-state area of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. That's a hotbed of, our following. But of course, we have a lot of people across the country and around the world. Any, particular places where it's more likely you're going to encounter a center where you've made real inroads?
I truly should know the answer to that question, but I don't. I take that back. Albuquerque, New Mexico is, I actually run into people who recognize me from like a video they've seen or something when I go to Albuquerque. Albuquerque's got a great pair of centers that are very, very well used. And, also Nashville. Nashville, Tennessee, I believe has 8 locations.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any international locations? Yeah. Are you going international with this? Because we do have listeners, throughout the world, Europe.
We are. Yeah. There's a hospital in London that has one. There's a few independent clinics, scattered in the United Kingdom, a few in Australia. There is one in a Moscow hospital, and those are all running through tests to go through like the FDA equivalent in those respective countries.
Okay. So the website for our listeners is, osteostrong.com, correct?
No, it's osteostrong.me.
Oh, okay. .ne. All right. That's a different domain.
M-E.
Oh, as in Michael Edward? Michael Edward?
That's right. Michael
okay.
Edward.
.me. Okay. And so finally, and one of the questions I thought to ask is, you're doing ongoing research on this. What type of research is underway to assess the validity of this, and where are you going, with, your scientific efforts?
Well, multiple different directions. We're looking at some of the endocrine implications. We're looking at discovering possibly different ways of loading the joint. What is truly the most comfortable position of the hand? And I think we're absorbing load in different directions. We're coming closer. Now, these are very slim nuances. So the way the device works now is fantastic, but if we can increase comfort by 1%, we may be able to get an even greater effect with the individuals, because comfort equals results, because you can load more comfortably. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of what's going on. And then some of the other research projects are looking at the database of the thousands of users, and then...
Because it's all on computer. You have it already on computers.
So yes. So keeping all of that data together and putting big aggregated populations together and then analyzing what kind of load that they can tolerate. So, for example, I presented at the World Congress on Osteoporosis, not this past year, but the year before, 2,500 individuals who were able to exceed what we had seen to be the growth trigger point in both the spine and hip. So that's a broad population. That was anywhere from 20 years old to 90. And each population was able to exceed those levels that had been associated with rapid bone growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will attest to the fact that 14% in a year is a phenomenal rate of bone increase, even with medication, even with the most aggressive medical management, which comes with potential side effects. So, and finally, I was going to ask you about the endocrine implications of this, because that's kind of interesting that you bring it up, is that studies show that weight bearing, especially squats, certain types of weight bearing actually increase growth hormone production and testosterone production, right? So is that something you're probably collaborating with some researchers on looking at?
That's right. That's exactly right. The pituitary, well, the secretion of growth hormone and the levels of testosterone have been associated based on certain activities like heavy squats, for example. But that doesn't necessarily mean the mechanism of each one is related one to the other. So, there have been some questions of growth hormone, the pituitary axis. What is the trigger to make that work? And is it squats or is it just loading of the lower extremities? So, for example, there was a very interesting study which compared squats and leg presses, and it looked specifically at growth hormone. I really like using this as an example because we don't want to get causation mixed up with correlation.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is one of the most common research mistakes. When you look at the individuals who do the leg press, they obviously use 2 or 3 times more weight than the person who's using a free weight bar squat. Now, the ones that were using, so if you look at the two groups, there's one group is using X weight and the other group is using 2 or 3X. Which would you imagine had the most growth hormone?
Well, I guess maybe this is a trick question, but I guess the more Fs, the more the greater force.
It was a trick question. not really a trick question. It's an interesting research question because the squat group had incredible growth hormone response, where the leg press group had none.
And maybe that has something to do with just the way that muscles are utilized when they're not in a framework, where you're.
That's right.
The pattern
in which muscles are recruited, the reason why muscles are recruited, are they consciously recruited or is it because tendons are lengthened because of balancing?
Mm-hmm.
So just spinal reflex. Is that a difference? So that's the type of research that I'm working on right now.
Good stuff. All right. Well, hey, congratulations on developing this wonderful new paradigm. I think it's really going to fly. And we want our listeners to be attuned to it. Once again, the website, just Google OsteoStrong, but the website is osteostrong.me, correct?
Correct.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. John Jaquish, for joining us today and enlightening us about a new perspective on exercise for osteoporosis. It may not be effective when, just walking the dog around the block, but very targeted exercise utilizing specialty devices such as you've developed can really make a difference. So thank you so much for your contribution.
Dr. Hoffman, thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.